Cosmos, either book or video. I think I keep the book a little short and then make the video series to come, so that the book is a kind of, it just gets the point across, right? And it can be convincing in itself, and then we can add material. And this is about today. We were talking, me and a friend, Pranav Prabhu, about about the tricky thing that this, our cosmos, the world that you find yourself in right now, that you may call the world or the cosmos or whatever, and what it actually is and who we actually are, that this idea or the understanding, or as I say, world really is right now changing, even in science, and has done so since, I would say, the advent of quantum physics, but then was always there, because it simply means that the original, I would say, worldview that we find here on Earth in different countries all over was pretty much the same since time immemorial, you could say, among humans. And it wasn't about and isn't about religions, because they differ, but that underlying understanding of the basic, fundamental, ontological realities of this world. And there we have the soul. We are souls. And at least in the Indian tradition, I say mostly souls are eternal. We always exist. And then you have different variations on that, different religions, but we are the soul, we're not the body, right? And we are parts of God and children of God and so on. Expansions of God. And in this way, we are, in a way, God. We are one with God, just like a sun ray is one with the sun. So, I mean, these basic, I mean, now we are just describing the cosmos from starting with that viewpoint of consciousness, us. Applying, so to speak, this understanding we developed here that we who live are the reality, and that reality is ultimately the ultimate conscious being, the, again, the sun that all the others are raised from, who we sometimes call God or the supreme consciousness, whatever, you know, different names and words. But that simple explanation of the existence of the world pretty much describes very generally, in a very general sense, the way that humans had looked at and understood the world as far back as we know, and still do, because, as we said before, only 10% of humans today do not believe in the soul and afterlife, something like that. Check facts. So what this cosmic model does, and the picture there, is really to show not only who we are, but where we are and why, but we are experiencing this specific world around us that we experience now in this what we call life. And if we find it bright or dark, happy or sad, pleasure or pain, why that is there, why that duality is there. I mean, when we talk like this, you hear the same questions and their answers given in all these old wisdoms, especially of the East. And what we say, and of course those wise of the East and the West, South and North, also say is that they, to understand, you know, real knowledge, important, crucial, most fundamental and life important knowledge is this: who am I, where am I? And then, as we repeat sometimes now, what do I want? What do I want to do right now and in this life? So here we find different worlds, lokas, which are all manifestations, you could say, of different types of consciousness, different desires for what to do, what to experience, and ways to get it. Then you get a room where you can play that out. A room that simply reflects your inner room, your microcosm, the way you think, the way you are, what you desire. And then, of course, when you project those desires out there, and that those imagined, those images from your imagination, then the world around there, of course, reflects that. And we then all meet, and the drama's going on here. A drama that we, well, eventually learn from. That's the beauty of it. And learn what? Well, learn how to become happier, how to, you know, raise to an even higher level of existence, of living. And if we find ourselves right now fighting with our neighbors or our neighbor countries or countries far away or this or that, or stealing from each other and, you know, all that, betraying and lying to each other, being selfish and greedy, and then find that environment around us. I think we tend to do that often. If I'm like that, then I may just have people around me being similar. Well, I mean, I will probably choose friends that are like me, and other people will become influenced by me. If, you know, so it's always best to be good. And this is what the Bhagavad Gita says there, that this mode of goodness, sattva, being a good person. I mean, it's simple, actually. We all know what it means. It makes you happy, and you make others happy, and therefore that's real happiness, which lasts. And when it lasts forever, then it's sudha-sattva, pure. And that's the path that this yoga and bhakti yoga are quite beautiful level, which used to be, I think, well, some kind of higher platform that somehow or other also is the simplest platform. So, yeah. Now I'm getting a little into these things that may sound like I'm talking about consciousness rather than the cosmos, but you see, I'm following this, how to say, this path that we are following in this book, where we try it out, and you can do too if you like, stepping into that cosmos which rests on consciousness, us living life as the foundation, not some material objects. Just existing there on their own. This is how it looks. And when we look at this cosmos here on this picture, which really illustrates this Puranic cosmos and others that we just looked at more in detail, and we should have it now clear in our minds, right? Then we can see that this is what is being described here. The existence of three worlds and seven worlds and 14 worlds, that we can visit from life to life, directed by our desires and karma. And look here, there are different places. This place looks like this, that place looks like that. That is a higher world where you have to be like this or that to live in. And if you are like that, then you will come there. And so on and so forth. Or you want to go down into the darker side and be my guest. So it's like a big game, virtual game. And we're also trying to just step into that point, viewpoint, that, yes, try to see it that way as a virtual reality, because it seems the more we actually look into it, even with the most sophisticated science that we humans have today, we just return to that cosmos. You just can't know, you can deny the existence of this or that, but you can't deny the existence of consciousness, which is us, the one who tries to deny. It's just so obvious. So that in itself just tells us that consciousness is fundamental, doesn't it? It's actually very simple. And from there it all goes. And it's all here in this picture. It's not some kind of, as I say, spatial bubble. Where all of the stuff in the universe that exists is contained inside. Well, in a way that also, but it is a much more sophisticated way of using imagery, geometrics, and so on. It's actually very, very advanced. And that is required a bit what is it? Allegorical, what do you call it? Metaphorical. And symbolic. And it's beautiful. And that's the way it needed. And having been so intelligently developed for that purpose of describing existence, describing the cosmos with a capital C that we are in, the great cosmos that contains everything that we find here, including the mind and the deeper mind. And the Atma, conscious observer, ourselves, yourself. Yep.